So did God ever ask you to do something that didn't make sense? Like, I know the people who've walked with God for a while because they're going, yes. As leaders, God is going to ask us to do things that don't make sense. He's going to ask us to do things that appear to be hard and that are probably scary. And we are going to jump into a time when that happened to the Israelites. So if you will take your devices or your Bibles and go to Numbers 13, we're going to be in Numbers 13 and 14 today. And we are going to talk about a time when God asked the Israelites to do something that they perceived to be very hard and very scary. So at this point, the Israelites have been, they have been in the wilderness for a little bit. They camped out at the base of Mount Sinai for about a year, and now they're on the move again, headed towards the promised land. They've multiplied, they've grown in strength and numbers. They've had God's miraculous provision, so they've had manna, they've had quail, he's parted the sea, he delivered them out of slavery. Like, there's a lot of things that have been going on. God has been faithful to them over and over again. They are now camped in the wilderness of Paran, and God speaks to Moses. So if you would read with me verses 1 and 2. So the Lord said to Moses, "Send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites from each ancestral tribe. Send one of its leaders." Okay, so here he says, send some men to explore the land of Canaan. But if we jump over to Deuteronomy 1, verses 21 to 22, it starts out a little bit differently. I want you to read this one too. So see, the Lord your God has given you the land. Go up and take possession of it, as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, told you. Don't be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Then all of you came to me and said, let us send men ahead to spy out the land for us and bring back a report about the route we are to take and the towns we will come to. Those two verses are very different, or those two sections of scripture are very different. We don't know why they're different. We don't know why one says that God told them to go take the land and don't be scared, And then they asked to go spy, and why one says, go check out this land, go explore. The word they use is explore. We don't know why that is different there, but what we do know is that at this moment, if the Israelites had done what God told them to, they would be walking into the promised land at this moment. Direct obedience. But they don't. And so they spend the next 40 years wandering around the wilderness. So it's not so much that it matters whether they explore the land or spy on the land or whatever it is they do. What is important for us today is that they have redefined what God has asked of them. And that's where we're starting today. So maybe I need to just acknowledge that in myself. Because when God asks me to do something, as Pastors Jen and Mary and my husband can attest to, I have a tendency to go, no. And as quiet as it is in the room, I'm guessing I'm the only one. Well, I know I'm not the only one because I know y'all. But what is important here is that I'm looking into myself going, I can't do this. And you know what? I'm right, because I can't. Because I am not my salvation, Jesus is my salvation. And if I'm looking to myself to be able to do the thing, then I'm never going to do the thing. I'm going to stay stuck and frozen. I do think that we needed to know this, because God reminds us in this text, in Numbers 13, verses 16, it says that these are the names of the men that Moses sent to explore the land. Moses gave Hosea, son of Nun, the name Joshua. So prior to this, he's listed all of the 12 people that they've selected to go explore or spy, but he changes one of their names. And we've learned previously that Joshua is a pretty common name, but I think it's important because God reminds us that, slow down. I'm excited about this text, and I'm nervous because y'all are intense. So I'm just saying.
God knew that we would need to be reminded. And so when Moses changes Hosea to Joshua, the name Hosea means salvation. The name Joshua means the Lord is salvation. So he's about to ask the Israelites to do something, and he's like, oh, hey, by the way, your name is no longer salvation. Your name is now the Lord is salvation, because we need that reminder to constantly be looking this way instead of this way. All right, so let's keep going into verses 17 to 25. Now, if I am the Israelites, by the way, I don't want to do this. I don't even know what God's asking me to do exactly. I know he told me to go over there into a place that I've never been, and I'm not really so sure I want to do that. Facts. Right? Me and Pastor Mary, we get this. So Moses, when Moses sent them to explore the land in Canaan, he said, go this way and look to see what the land is like, whether the people are strong or weak, whether the ground is good or bad. What kind of towns do they live in? Are they fortified? Are they walled or not? How's the soil? Do they have trees? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit. So they do this for 40 days. They go through and they follow this route. And the route, like you can read it in the text, the route is very specific. And they go see what kind of land it is. And they do all the things. They come back. Now it's the beginning of the season of harvest for grapes. So the first grapes are ready. And one of the things that they bring back is a bunch of grapes. Now a bunch of grapes is like this big. They bring back a bunch of grapes that is so big that it takes two people and a pole to carry it. So let me read this to you. Verses 27 to 29. They gave Moses this account. We went to the land which you sent us, and it flowed with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Okay, you heard a couple things. But first off, it is the land of milk and honey. You heard that, right? But it's full of people. So the Israelites, if I'm the Israelites, I'm like, I'm not going over there because they live there already and they're not going to like it if I come tell them they got to go. Like, nobody wants to get evicted. If I'm Pastors Rick and Jen, with their permission, and I'm told that I need to go pastor a church in a place where I have no friends and family, I have no support network, and the traumas of my past are going to rise up and slap me in the face every day for 2 or 3 years. Am I going? No. No. And then I'm going to get asked to go back and inspect the property. I don't care if there's benefit. Like, I've been there. No, I don't need to. No. I don't need to go back there. But the point is, the Israelites have every reason to be afraid. It's logical. Reasonable, rational, all the reasons. There's a list. Like, these people are giants. We'll talk about that in a minute. There's literally all these reasons why this is not okay. And they start grumbling. As leaders, what do you do when your people or you got to do something hard? What do you do? Do you run? Do you whine? Do you complain? What do you do? Well, what we see from Moses is not what we should be doing. So in a leadership role, when stuff gets hard, ideally we are reminding ourselves and our people, this is a mission. This is what we came here to do. We're not going to back down from it. We're not going to be afraid of it. We're going to stand up. We're going to do the things, right? At this moment, Moses should be doing that, but he's not. He's not reminding them of God's presence. He's not reminding them of God's faithfulness, that he delivered them out of slavery and across the Red Sea, and that he's fed them all this way and all this time. And I'm gonna say it again, your feelings are valid. Their feelings are valid. My feelings are valid. Why we don't wanna do that is all valid. But as leaders, we must trust our God more than our feelings. God shows us an example of this. Check out this verse. Should be verse 30. Oh, okay. My apologies. Okay, so I'm going to read it to you. So verse 30 says, "Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, 'We should go up and take possession of the land, for certainly we can do it.'" So what's Caleb demonstrating here? Faith. First and foremost is faith. God's going to smash some folks, Leonard says. Caleb trusts God. Now, we would prefer to hear this from Moses as the leader, but instead we're hearing it from Caleb. But the Israelites aren't budging. And the other spies are pushing the fear agenda, right? They got people freaking out. So in verse 33, he says, "We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak came from the Nephilim." What does that mean? That means to us that they're giants. These are massive people. And the Israelites are like, we're grasshoppers in our eyes compared to these people, and that's how they see us. So I can almost hear the fear, like, you know when a pot first starts to boil and you get all those little bubbles and then it really starts to bubble, right? So you hear that kind of fearful murmuring among the Israelites, and then eventually it becomes this full-on hysteria. And then the spies, I'm like Gru in Despicable Me, light bulb. We need to go get a new leader and go back to Egypt. Right? I'm going to completely bow face. I'm out of here. Later. So they're grumbling. They're crying. Why would God do this to us? Why would he send us to a place where we have no family, no friends, no faith community like Pastors Jen and Rick? Why is he going to ask us to go to a place that we don't have anything? And they're blaming God for giving them exactly what they've asked for. So you remember the two differences in the verses? In one of them, they said, "Hey, let us go explore the land." And God said, "Okay," and he let them, and now they're mad about it. They're mad about what, like, it didn't change what God said to them. He still said, "Go take the land," but they're mad because now you've gone and seen it, and now you don't want to do it, but I still told you to go take the land. Yet here again, we see Joshua and Caleb trusting God, and they are trying to be heard over all the noise and all the mess. And they're warning people. Not only are they saying, "Hey, the land is good, God is faithful to deliver us," but don't rebel against God. Okay. Like, I read that and went, "Ooh." And you know nobody's listening. They're all, "Oh, but this," and, "Oh, they're giants," and, "Oh, it's going to be terrible." But they are demonstrating for us what strong leadership looks like in the face of adversity. As leaders, we must be consistent and faithful to what God has called us to do until he has released us from it. As leaders, we must be consistent and faithful to do what God has called us to do even when it's hard, and until he releases us. That's hard. But Matthew 5:37, I like the Amplified Version, it says, "But let your statement be yes, yes, and no, no. A firm yes or no. Anything more comes from the evil one." So we have free will, though, right? We get to make that choice of whether or not we're going to do it or not. So do the Israelites. And unfortunately, they are not changing their tune. They are choosing to be disobedient, to rebel, and God's ready to take them out with a plague. And now we see Moses step back up into the Moses we've come to know in this series, and he steps up and he's interceding for them. It's like, "Wait a minute, God. You can't do this." Read verses 17 and 19 with me. "Now may the Lord's strength be displayed just as you have declared. The Lord is slow to anger, abounding in love, forgiving sin and rebellion, yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation. In accordance with your great love, forgive the sin of these people, just as you have pardoned them from the time they left Egypt until now. So one of my favorite things about this section of passage, or this passage of scripture, is the honesty in it. Because Moses calls out that they are doing the wrong thing. He calls out the Lord's character and the Lord's promises. Very specifically, he wants God to remember that the Egyptians, who knew that he had done this, who knew that he gave them a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night to get where they're going, would be perceived as incapable of delivering them from the wilderness because he slaughtered them there. So Moses is telling God, hey, you can do that, but if you do, this is what's going to happen. But he's not letting the Israelites off the hook, and neither is God. But we're going to take a break from the scripture, and I'm going to tell you a story about me and why this one hit home. In 2015, in my previous job, the organization was struggling with a massive reorganization, and I was offered an opportunity to apply for a promotion. It was a pretty significant promotion, and I was pretty certain I was getting it because my competition was one guy who's 10 years younger than me, and he had way less experience than I did. And don't you know that he did not, they did not pick me. And I was mad about it. And I'm walking through my building and I'm lamenting. I would love to say that I was just praying, because that's what I wrote. That's not really what I was doing. I was having a whole fit walking through the building like, really? He's so young. He doesn't know nothing. Why is it? Y'all know the sound bites, right? But God stopped me in my tracks, and he said, you didn't get that job because I have something better for you. Okay, God. And all of my ego was soothed. All of the lamenting stopped, and I'm like, sweet. But don't you know we are forgetful? We are forgetful people, like our buddies, the Israelites, because I forgot about that. And 2 years later, took a job that was not for me. It should have been the pinnacle of my career. It was in my specialty. I'm a technical expert in it. It should have been, I would have been the boss of that field. I should have walked into it, and it should have been an amazing time of celebration of all the things that I had worked for 25 years. But don't you know that I walked right outside of the will of God in that moment? And I kept pushing for promotion and kept pushing for promotion and kept pushing for promotion, even though God told me I have something better for you. I got the promotion, but experienced the worst 5 years of my 30-year career, where I was undervalued, overlooked, mistreated, and sometimes even abused. And I can blame the organization. I can blame all of the people who allowed me to get promoted. I can blame the system. But don't I have to take some responsibility for the fact that God told me not to do that? And I chose to do it anyway. God gave me what I wanted. He let me exercise my free will, which he does. And my pride and ego helped me make some really bad choices. And God held me responsible for that by allowing me to suffer the consequences of that choice. And don't you know that's what he's doing to the Israelites next? Verses 21 to 23. Nevertheless, and we're in chapter 14 now, verses 21 to 23. Nevertheless, as surely as I live, as surely as the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth, not one of those who saw my glory and the signs I performed in Egypt and the wilderness, but disobeyed me and tested me 10 times. Not one of them will ever see the land I promised on the oath of their ancestors. No one who has treated me with contempt will ever see it. Seems kind of harsh, right? But he told them. Up to now, God has continued to rescue the Israelites from themselves over and over. He rescued them out of slavery.
He parted the Red Sea. He gave them manna. He gave them quail. He continues to provide for them all that they want. And now they still won't listen. Like Shawnee told us last week, this stiff-necked people. So Moses intercedes again and again throughout all of this. But there's one great lesson for all of us in it. As leaders, we must recognize there are consequences for our choices and be humble enough to accept them and repent of our mistakes. So what do the Israelites do here? What do we do here? We get to the place where we're supposed to do the thing. We weren't doing the thing, being disobedient. I know what I do. Okay, I was just kidding. Let me get my stuff. Let me get my, like, hold on, God, I'm coming. We're going right now. Am I the only one? Because you get caught, right? You do something wrong, and you're like, oh, crap. What am I doing now? Uh-oh. Busted. In verse 40, the Israelites say, it says, early the next morning, they set out for the highest point of the hill country, saying, now we're ready to go up to the land the Lord has promised. Surely we have sinned. They have blown off Moses at this point, because Moses is going, God said you don't get to go now. Like, you had your chance and you missed it. But they go. And according to the word, they got beaten down. They got whooped by the Amalekites and the Canaanites because they did what God wasn't, that's not what God told them to do now. They're not allowed anymore. So as I'm studying for this, I'm going, this is a really sad ending. Like, I can't leave them here. But don't you know God is good? And in the reading plan this week, we were in John 13, and he took me to John 13, 19, and it says, I am telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am who I am. And let me tell you what's going on in that context, because it's important. Jesus and the disciples are at the Last Supper. Jesus has acknowledged that Judas will betray him, and Judas has left. Jesus knows that he and the disciples are about to face real hardship. Jesus is about to go to the cross, and the disciples are about to be without him. He said, I'm telling you now before it happens because I want you to know that I am who I am. I want you to have faith enough to know that I am who I said I am, and I am true to my word, and that you can believe me in the face of what's about to come. As leaders, we get distracted and discouraged and bound up in the tyranny of the urgent. They're all legitimate needs. They're all valuable. They all matter. But what's the one thing that matters the most? Is Jesus. That we would sit at his feet, that we would learn from him, that we would take on board our new identity as believers, as children of the Most High God, so that when the crisis comes, because it will come, that we're prepared to lay down our burdens. We're prepared to listen to what he has to say. You know, we only need to cry out to him. The word repentance is literally a turn. So you're walking this way, and it's the wrong way. The only thing the Israelites had to do was just stop and go back. But instead, they got beaten down for it. So when you guys came in, everybody got a card and a pen. And we've done some time of prayer this morning, but this is a different opportunity because sometimes we don't want to come forward. Sometimes we don't want to be the one who puts the spotlight on us. But what I would challenge you to do today is, what is the thing that God has asked you to do that you're unwilling to do? What is the repentance that you need to exhibit? What is the place where God is saying, I want you to go this way. And you're saying, I ain't going. Because we all say it. I say it. What's that place this morning? And I challenge you to write it down and run to the Father.
bring it to him, lay it at his feet. There's a basket up here for you once you've done that. Can the worship team come forward? I'm sorry. I should have asked for that.
God asked, ooh, that's really loud. God asks us to do hard things, but when he asks them to do them, when he asks us to do them, he carries the hard and the heavy. Doesn't mean it's not there. The giants were still there. God just empowered them to face them. When we try to charge the hill without God, we have the worst 5 years of our career. Or, as the Israelites did, we get whooped. The good news for us as New Covenant believers is that Jesus already paid the price for our sin. So we don't have to beg and plead and do all these things for forgiveness. We just have to acknowledge and accept the forgiveness that Jesus has already paid for, and then have God help us walk it out, walk through the consequences. As we enter into worship, if we're honest, we all have the easy answer, the quick answer to what's God asked us to do that we don't want to do. Maybe it's a diet. Maybe it's getting our eating plan healthy. Maybe it's exercising more. Maybe it's getting our finances straight, which is not an easy thing to do. None of those are. But there's also a really big, hard thing that's deep in here somewhere in our lives, usually a couple places in our lives, that God has asked us for, that he's asked you to do. And as your community of believers, as your family, whether you're in this room or you're our online family, we don't want to see you miss walking in your promised land because you are afraid of the giants. We don't want fear to push you into disobedience. So we lock arms. We invite you to confess the thing, and then we stand with you. We stand with you because God is bigger than every giant. And he has more love than any hatred that will ever come against you. And he has enough strength to overcome any obstacle. So would you stand and pray with me? God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the lessons of your leaders. We thank you for the lessons of Scripture. We thank you for the message, the word that you gave to Pastor Jessica. We thank you that you love us and you are faithful to us despite all of our unfaithfulness to you. And God, we thank you that you have a promised land for each of us. Because sometimes that's hard to see with the desert in front of us and surrounding us. So even now, God, as we sing and as we pray and as we worship and as we reflect, Holy Spirit, if we've been closing off our ears to you, to that thing, pray that you would open our ears to hear your voice. That you would pull obedience and courage and strength up inside of us. Because it is your desire to give us the land full of milk and honey. It is your desire to overcome the giants in our lives that would seek to slay us. And you just ask for our yes and amen, our cooperation. So we give that to you today. We stand together and we praise your name. Forgive us for where we failed. forgive us for where we've said no. And God, as you are faithful and gracious, accept our yes and amen. In Jesus' name.